So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of SparkCast, a casual conversation about sex when we just talk to some fun people and get to know them a little better. Today, I am sitting down with the amazing Bishop. This is going to be a little bit of a different episode for me because I've known Bishop longer than anyone that I've been involved with Spark. As always, my name is Remy, and thank you for joining us. Bishop, thank you so much for sitting down with me and taking the time.
You know, no worries. This is just kind of up my ballpark, so why wouldn't I?
Why not? So Bishop is a cinematographer that has extended his hand into helping us with being our sort of third crew member for behind the scenes when it comes to creating our Spark films. Bishop, one of the first questions I want to ask you about is, how did you get into being involved in editing and videography and cinematography, and like where did that jump off for you?
You know, 90s latchkey kid. I grew up watching movies, you know, Star Wars, you know, babysat me for a great amount of time in my life. So I just kind of grew up with my head in that space. And then, so the more, the older I got, the more I just kind of got sucked into it. Did some volunteer work at a local cable access television about the time I met you. And then you and I started bouncing off with another collaborator. And then, you know, we made our first little project. Mm-hmm. And after that, like, you know, I think both of us got the bug. And mm-hmm. we never let it go, and then I just kind of escalated things on my own, and then here both of us are.
Here we are. So what is it about making video that draws you to it?
I've always been a storyteller. Borderline talk too much. Way too much detail in probably every story, and, you know, that's got to translate into something. I'm at my happiest, no matter what the stress level, when I'm creating, you know, and I just cannot picture my life doing anything other than that, you know, and everything else is just to service that, you know, so that's got to be passion, you know, and, you know, you just, with any dream, you know, you hit pitfalls, you know, you hit times where you don't even do anything about it, and then, you know, you come back to it. And mm-hmm. if you keep coming back to it, that's obviously something you're kind of meant to do. Mm-hmm. And it just has brought me to this point.
So it's definitely something that if you had your druthers, you would be able to do this full time.
Oh yeah. No. You know, it doesn't matter what level I'm on doing it. I just want to be doing that all the time. And, you know, it doesn't, monetary value has no real aspect in it other than I just want to live to mm-hmm. do that. So I'm a slave to it, and, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way.
So do you find that storytelling is something that happens in all aspects of your life? Like as I'm looking at you right now, I know that we have some comic book art behind you, we have some comic books behind you. Do you find that you draw inspiration from even, you know, your hobbies and stuff like that, such as comic books and other such things?
Yeah, you know, just from a unique unique upbringing, that I started as a, you know, a very religious, you know, upbringing from my parents. And, you know, you get a certain, you know, morality imprinted on you. And then as you get older and, you know, just liking the things that I like, I found my morals and my moral stories less in, say, the Bible or a religious text. And I found them in my comics, mm-hmm. you know. And there I found, you know, exasperated characters, mm-hmm. you know, with unbelievable powers. But bottom line, there was a moral code, mm-hmm. you know, and they always struggled with things, inferiority complexes or racism or just, you know, at the core, there's always a bit of humanity in there.
Sure, sure. It's still the stories of good and evil, right versus wrong.
Yes.
You know, I mean, the whole, you know, the mutant saga of the whole 90s X-Men was all a thing about racism and homophilia and...
The relationship of Malcolm X with Martin Luther King, you know, as depicted in, you know, Magneto and Professor X. Mm-hmm. You know, and... all of these things, you know, you appreciate one way when you're small because it resonates, and then it keeps escalating, and as you get older, your scope widens, and you see the humanity and just the way things are, you know, in these, presumably silly little texts. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it also sets you up, well, at least it set me up for... storytelling, and especially in a visual medium, because it's literally just storyboarding the entire thing for you. And here it is, and here's the action from point A to point B, and here's what it looks like close up, you know, where mm-hmm. it is, you know.
Yeah, no, we're very similar in that I didn't know that coming into editing that I would draw so much on that, and that comic books had taught me all of these things. It had to take Urvashi, the director of Spark Erotic, to actually sit down and tell me, like, oh, well, clearly that's where you got all this from. You've been reading comic books since you were a child.
Right.
And those visual storyboards are just such a wonderful blueprint on how to tell stories.
Right. And, you know, your storytelling only gets better and deeper the older you get.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, here we are. And it applies to... everything, whether, you know, I'm making a little commercial, you know, for a delivery service or a free PSA, you know, for a nonprofit. You know, there's a story everywhere, whether or not it's deep or shallow, it's still a story to be told.
Going forward, you said that you started in a very religious upbringing. Mm-hmm. And then as you became an adult, you... found your own way and your own direction that you wanted to go into things. What was the transition like between doing a PSA or a commercial for a local business or something like that to then, we recently had your first experience with Spark Erotic. Mm-hmm. Bishop sat down with us and was our extra cameraman for the film Restless. Which at the time that we're recording this, we are in January of 2019. I am currently editing that film and was one of the stars in that film. So typically I'm behind the camera. Bishop was kind enough to step in and say, hey, I want to be a part of this. So how does that go for you between the jump from I'm going to try to help somebody sell tacos to now I'm going to be filming naked people?
There's definitely expectations. Mm-hmm. Then there's the moment of uncomfortable, like, you know, as right after I knocked on the door, it all, you know, comes bearing, you know, because I'm human, you know, like I'm got myself into this situation. Voluntarily, you know, but you know, it all comes to that point, and then the door opens, and you know, I'm welcomed into an established family. Mm-hmm. And you know, that has, you know, just any coming into any established group, you know, has, you know, dipping your toe in the pond.
Mm-hmm. Starting as an outsider and finding your niche.
Yeah. Everybody has chemistry already, you know, and everybody has a sense of how the machine runs. And, you know, it's like hopscotch, you know, I'm just mm-hmm. trying to get in. So what really made it easy with Spark Entertainment is the fact that, like, off the bat, like, all of, you know, the expectations of just the unknown of, you know, what I was about to do. They just really put at ease. It was a very easygoing set mixed with very professional, you know, professionalism across the board. They had a clear vision, you know, a timetable, you know, Some things went wrong. Some things went right.
As they do.
And, you know, I got to see how they collectively bounced back from that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that determines what you can expect, you know, when things really hit the wall. So, you know, if nobody's screaming at each other, tensions are high, voices might be high, but nobody has resulted to that full diva meltdown. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, that is a testimony to, you know, just how focused everybody is, you know, no matter what it was. And, but flip that, very easygoing. It was fun. I learned a couple of things, you know, technical wise about equipment, about the extent of, you know, my own camera. It was a different form, and it was a different. It was definitely just a different kind of project that I never thought I would ever do. Mm-hmm. Just like anybody, you know, that's sexually active or, you know, has a fantasy life, you know, you always dream of doing something like that. Sure. But you very rarely, you know, get an opportunity to do anything, you know, in that world. And, you know, if anything, I am also a sex nerd. So, you know, it just kind of started clicking, you know, on so many levels. So it was fun. It was unique. I would definitely do it again, you know, and I know, you know, spoiler alert,
we're gonna have
we are going to be working again, but it's something, you know, I've seen the rough, you know, the rough footage. Mm-hmm. And I've already seen something that I was just an extra in, and I'm excited to see the final project once it's done. And, you know, it's something that I can be proud of, you know, because it looks great. I have a feeling it's going to turn out amazing. And
fingers crossed.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Knock on wood.
That's up to me doing my job. And, get back to work. Here's to hoping.
But yeah, no, it's something I can be proud of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not ashamed of doing that because it's just filling in all the boxes.
Okay, I want to circle back to two things. Uh-huh. The first one was, yes, you were an extra in one of our films. The film that will hopefully be coming out very soon, called The Perfect Place, in which we were lucky enough to have an establishment in Colorado Springs lend us their gentlemen's club for the better part of a day. Bishop was very kind in coming down and joining us at the Snooty Fox Gentlemen's Club for the better part of a morning. And he showed up and he was dressed very nice and he was very cooperative because we asked a lot of our extras that day in that, you know, go here, don't say anything, make noise, don't make noise, dance when there's no music. What was that experience like for you? Because I know that was your first.
That was probably more uncomfortable than actually shooting a sex scene.
How so?
You know, just behind the camera. Just the, I've never mimed, you know, and being the guy always behind the lens, you know, mm-hmm. being the storyteller rather than just in front for all to see. It was definitely, I knew what you wanted, but I've never been faced with that. Mm-hmm. So I definitely kind of had to cross a couple of demons on that, just being in front of the camera.
Because, yeah, the actual acting.
Acting, yeah, yeah, you know, acting.
It's even just, if it's not you saying lines, it's you know that
yes,
all of your motions, your mannerisms, all of it are being captured.
It made me put my money where my mouth was, mm-hmm. and, you know, it was humbling. It, you know, I ultimately learned something, mm-hmm. like, this is really hard. This is really uncomfortable. So
would you say that it gave you a little bit of a newfound respect for the people that you're actually pointing the camera at?
Absolutely. And, you know, it probably, knowing how just absolutely weird that of an experience just acting is, or doing anything in front of the camera, it probably gave me a little bit better social skills in directing people, okay. you know, and putting them more at ease.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, it's just my one time in front of the camera, you know, sure, I learned
so far.
So far.
First time in front of the camera. Mm-hmm. The other thing that I wanted to circle back on is you said that you are a sex nerd. Mm-hmm. Explain, please.
Okay, so you can be passionate about a whole bunch of stuff. Mm-hmm. You can want to know everything. You know, I can tell you how a warp engine works from Star Trek. You know, why? Because I devoted the time to it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
So we have the nerd box crossed off, but how does that transfer into
sex? How does
that
translate? So, with my unique religious upbringing, I was a backwards kid, you know, very late bloomer, probably even now, you know, I'm just constantly discovering who I am because I was just so behind everybody, you know. I didn't go to a secular high school. I was homeschooled. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I just missed out. You know, it's a formidable, you know, 4 years, you know, from junior high to high school. And I just didn't have that. So I was just kind of backwards. And, you know, just being, you know, that weird, sheltered, you know, religious kid that, you know, everybody liked, mm-hmm. but nobody really knew, you know, how to deal with me because I was my own animal, and yet I didn't fit in with them. So I was kind of like a, you know, just an island amongst myself. So, didn't lose my virginity till I was 23. So, what do you do when you're just absolutely trying to figure things out? I literally read books.
True.
All those, like, you know, bizarro sex manuals that you're like, who actually buys them? This guy, circa 1998, you know, going to a B. Dalton, you know, buying all of the books and, like, literally reading how to go down on a woman, you know, proper tongue techniques, you know, all of these things. And then that begat, you know, once, you know, pornography, you know, hit the fire, you know, just kind of blossomed. Mm-hmm. And then that just kind of evolved into just a fascination with just kinks in general. Not necessarily focusing in on one, but just what is it that turns you on? Mm-hmm. You know, what is that, like, you know, that thing that you don't necessarily tell everybody, but completely does it for you because everybody's different. Each lock is unique and you just can't pick the same one with the same mechanism.
Yeah. You can't come to with the same skills.
Yeah.
Everybody's different. Yeah, totally.
And some things aren't my back. Mm-hmm. Some things completely are, but I want to hear about them, you know, mm-hmm. whether it's like, oh, or, I want to be open and comfortable enough where you can tell me and then either embrace it and, you know, explore it or just high five you in your glory. Sure. And just say, sorry, not really my back.
What are, for you, if you would feel comfortable sharing with our audience, mm-hmm. what are some of the things that you like that the average person might say, oh, not for me?
I know some people aren't a fan of squirters or, you know, ultimately any discharge that comes from a woman. Mm-hmm. Love that shit. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think there's just something incredibly sexy and sensual about it. And I'm just, you know, like there, you know, every time, you know, I'm blessed that, you know, it happens.
Is it that it's with squirting in general, is it that you have this physical thing that says, hey, I did a good job. Hey, you enjoyed this. Is that what it is that does it for you? Or is it something more than that?
First off, like I'm just a caregiver personality, period. Sure. So seeing, you know, my partner actually just highly enjoy the experience, you know, is incredibly rewarding. Flattering. And outside of that, I don't know. I just, there's some for me, there's something to be said with just being covered in sex.
Okay.
If that makes any sense.
No, I think that makes perfect sex. Perfect sex. That makes perfect sense. And so was this something that developed over time, or was it like, first time I saw this, I'm sold. Sign me up for that ride.
First time, you know, like, I was probably one of those bizarro, you know, extreme ones where, you know, they probably, like, suck up, you know, a liter of water. And, you know, it's just like, oh, my God, what the hell was that? But it definitely, like, triggered something, you know. It's like, I don't even know what this is.
But, I don't know what this is, but I want to see more of it. Yeah,
let's put a pin in it. Yeah. So, and then, you know, just, you just watch stuff.
Sure.
You know? And then the more I watched it, and like sought that specific kind of thing out, the more, you know, I just kind of built it up.
Sure.
And then just like anything, learned, and especially in life, when you build something up, it kind of disappoints. So when that happened for the first time for me,
when it went from this fiction that I've seen to now being a part of my life. To an
actual, because, like, you know, I would, like, hear stories of, you know, other men, you know, being fortunate enough where this happens. And just, like, you know.
Someday, like, that's going to be me.
Bitch, yeah. And they were just like, oh, gross, you know, I don't like that sort of thing. And just like, you know, like, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. So, happened. Met expectations, probably escalated me into a longer session than I normally would throw down on.
Like, invigorated you. It was like,
oh, like blood rage, you know. It's like, I came to, I was naked, you know, covered with blood in the field, kind of.
What happened? I don't know what it was, but I enjoyed it.
So, yeah, it met expectations and then confirmed, you know, that this is a thing. Fantasy became reality, and I was incredibly happy with the reality. So, you know, officially box checked, you know, under things, you know, Bishop likes.
Mm-hmm. So that was the first time that you enjoyed having a partner that was a squirter for you. What was your going back further than that? What was your first time actually like losing your virginity?
Unexpected, kind of broadsided. Actually, I was part of a large group of friends in our 20s. It was literally like 5 guys, 1 girl, and this girl happened to be a lesbian. So. Mindset, especially in, you know, your early 20s, it's all a bunch of dudes, you know, all a bunch of guys. So we're just out having fun, you know, drinking, you know, a couple of joints were rolled. Sorry, Mom. And so one thing led to another, night comes to an end. Being a couple of responsible people, myself, one other, we kind of remained sober. So it came down to who's driving who home. So she actually said, well, why doesn't Bishop drive me home? And I was just, yeah, sure. Completely not even on my radar. Drove her home. It was outside of town, somewhat in the hills, and went in. She said, well, why don't you come on in? You know, this being Colorado, you know, let's, you know, smoke a bowl of weed and just chill out. And I was like, oh, okay, cool, thank you. So took her up on her hospitality. She ultimately had left me in the living room, went into her bedroom, and presumably just immediately dialed her ex-girlfriend, and they had probably like a 10 to 15 minute shouting fest over the phone.
Mm.
Go silent. Mind you, I'm just on the couch watching, I think, Married with Children at the time.
Sure.
And door opens. Bishop, you know, when you come in, sit on the bed. So I'm intoxicated at this point. I walk in, completely blind to the situation. Sit down. She starts telling me, you know, Bishop, you're a really good guy. You know, I can really, you know, see something I trust in you. Blah, 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 blah. And then she throws out, I don't think you should go home. And I was like, oh, you know, I'm good to drive. You know, it's been a little while since everything, you know, and just completely going over my head. And she's like, no, I think you should stay here with me. And then it was just, oh.
At that point, are you still like, oh, well, yeah, I mean, I can make a spot on the couch if you want.
At this point, like, you know, it's like, okay, so, she asked, you know, sit on the bed, start, you know, undressing, all those thoughts racing, you know, through your head, and then we start having fun, things just start escalating, I'm able to rise to the occasion and then some, and then she starts asking for honestly advanced things, and you know,
because at this point you guys haven't had a conversation, so she doesn't know for sure that you are a virgin at this point.
She did, because she did. She's a good human being, and me being a dirtbag virgin, I
oh, so she asked you,
is this your first
time? Is this your first time? Like, and you're like, no.
Are you kidding? No, I was...
Tons of women.
Honest to a point, I was like, no, this isn't my first time, but I'm still inexperienced. Mm-hmm. So, not trying to cash checks that I couldn't, you know, not writing checks that I couldn't cash. So, back to in it. Hot and heavy, everything's going crazy, and then she starts asking me for, well, have you ever had anal sex? And I was like, no, no, not really. Would you like to try? Okay, so yeah, there I was, like kind of an hour and a half into it, and I'm having anal sex. Yeah, and you know, it was it was good, and then vibrator came into play on her, and then suddenly, you know, it's a double penetration, it's rigmarole with me and a vibrator, and then at that point, it was just, like, too much.
Like, well, yeah, I mean, you went from the kiddie pool to the deep end, and like you said, like an hour and a half, yeah.
Really quick, and so, like... So she, like, finished herself off, and, you know, we just, you know, like, heavy petted, you know, mutual oral, till the sun came up, and then I had to jump in my car, race 10 to 15 miles-ish home. Home being my grandparents' house, had to sneak past them, reeking of sex. And of course, you know, that's when everybody's up early, wants to get right up and personal and talk to me about shit.
Smell like booze.
Smell like weed and just sin, you know.
Smell like sin. I like that.
You know, took a shower, like ate a piece of toast, went to work. And that was my first time.
I have known you for 14, 15 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I've never heard this story. So this was a highlight for me. I hope that it was a highlight for our audience as well. No follow-ups. I don't know where to go from here. That's fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. Ladies and gentlemen, Bishop, the newest member of the technical side of Spark Erotic. Please look out for him in the background of A Perfect Place. Look out for his amazing camera work on the film Restless. Bishop, thank you so much for sitting down with me and talking with me.
Thank you, man. Thank you for everything.
All right. Yeah, I don't have a better way to end it than that. That's fantastic.